Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name, the one we praise this holy day. Amen. The text for our sermon is the gospel lesson, the words of Jesus to Herod, crying over Jerusalem. Let us pray as we consider God's word today. We pray. Lord, always open our ears to hear, open our minds to consider, to ponder, and open our hearts to believe your word, to trust your word. Grant us always the Holy Spirit. May the word penetrate our minds and hearts this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't be a crybaby. I used to hear those words a lot growing up. I know that's hard for you to imagine. Big, strong, tough Pastor Busher, a crybaby. Yes, my family would tell you, my brothers and sister, mom and dad, I was kind of a crybaby. And I heard a lot, don't be a crybaby. If you lose a Little League baseball game, don't be a crybaby. Everybody loses a game now. It's just a game, Paul. And if we're out camping or fishing and I got a few mosquito bites, flies bugging me, don't be a crybaby and whine about the bugs. We're camping after all. It's going to happen. Don't cry. And if my older brothers were picking on me, bothering me, Dad would often say to me, quit being a crybaby. Don't be a tattletale your whole life. Deal with it. Deal with your brothers. Do something about it yourself. And if Mom made liver and onions for supper, yes, there were a lot of cries and real tears. Don't be a crybaby. You don't always get hamburgers and hot dogs and steak for supper and pork chops. Eat the liver and onions, what Mom serves. Don't be a crybaby. Well, in our three readings today, we come across three men who are crying. But we would never call them crybabies. The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah. Now, in this particular chapter, chapter 26, he is not crying. But did you know that Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, the crying prophet? He cries a lot. And he does cry when Babylon does destroy Jerusalem. He threatens that in the text. Babylon's going to come and destroy you because of your idolatry. When it happens, he cries over the city. He's the weeping, crying prophet, a grown man crying. And if you listen closely to the epistle, Paul writes about the enemies of the cross, and he says, even with tears in my eyes, I write about the enemies of the cross. Paul's crying about all the enemies and all the unbelievers. He has tears. He cries. Big, strong Paul crying. And above all, we have Jesus crying in the gospel lesson. As he overlooks Jerusalem, maybe he's up on a hill overlooking the city. And he sheds some real tears. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How I long to gather you as a hen gathers the brood, but you're not willing. And so your house will be desolate. Real men, Jeremiah, Paul, Jesus crying. Let me talk about the cries of a Christian today. It's a very appropriate theme in Lent. It's a season of crying. We soon come to Easter, a season of praising God and rejoicing. But this is the season of real tears and crying. Let me say two things about crying, what we are not to cry about and what we should cry about as Christians. In two ways I'll talk about that. For we are to cry, but then there are things we don't cry about. What's the difference? Number one, don't, Christians, baptized, believers in Jesus, don't cry over the suffering of Jesus. Do cry over your sins that caused it. Let me repeat that. Don't cry over the suffering of Jesus. Do cry over your sins, my sins, that caused it. There's a temptation, I fear, during Lent, this 40-day season, as we get to Easter. There's a temptation during this time to feel sorry for Jesus. Lent is not feeling sorry for Jesus. Oh, poor Jesus. How he suffered, the nails, the crown of thorns, the mocking, the spitting. We are not here to pity Jesus, to feel sorry for Jesus, to shed tears over Jesus' suffering and death, in sympathy for Jesus. Let me be clear. Jesus doesn't want our pity. He wants our praise. For he died to deliver us and save us. He doesn't want our tears over his suffering. He wants our trust and our thanksgiving for the victory over sin, death, and hell that comes forth at Easter. Remember when Jesus was going to the cross, carrying his cross, or Simon was carrying it for him maybe, and they were going the way to the cross, and in Luke it records there were some women that were weeping for him. They were over the side, maybe his mother, Mary Magdalene, a few other women that were his followers. They were crying for Jesus. They had sympathy for Jesus, pity for Jesus as he suffered so badly. What did Jesus say to those women? He didn't say, "Oh, thank you for your tears. Thank you for your sympathy and your pity. No one else cares about me, but you do." That's not what Jesus said. He said boldly, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. Don't cry for Jesus. For when Jesus suffers and dies, he is doing exactly what he has come to do. He is doing what he wants to do. He's not forced to go to the cross as if he doesn't want to. He's doing what's in his heart to do, what he loves to do, which is to save sinners, which is to show compassion and deliver people from hell. That's what God's all about. God is all about salvation. God's all about mercy. He's all about forgiveness. And God will give his very life that it happen. That's what makes God tick. That's what's got, God's whole reputation is wrapped up in a cross. This is what God wants you to think of when you think of him. A cross. He's doing what he's come to do. This is his eternal purpose. It's his glory to die. It's what he wants to do. We don't cry for him. We praise him. You know, I had a roofer come to the house, a few days ago in the afternoon. He was putting a roof on somewhere in the neighborhood. And you know how those guys do. They might come around to your house if they see your home and ask you if they can go up on your roof and check out your roof. So I said, "Sure, go on up." He said, "It looks kind of old a little bit. I'll see if there's any problems." I said, "Sure, go ahead. It's a free estimate, whatever." And so the roofer had to go back to his truck. He had to go get his big, awkward ladder on his shoulder. And he carried that big, awkward ladder over to the side of my house. He had to put the ladder up to the side of my house. I have a two-story house that's about 15, 20 feet up there. I would never go up there. I'm terrified of heights. It's too dangerous for me. Kind of a slope I have there too. I'd never do that, but he puts it up there. He crawls up there. He's walking around my roof, bending down. It's a cold wind is kind of blowing over him. He's walking by the gutters around, taking notes, checking things out. What was I doing while he did that? Was I crying for him? "Oh, you poor roofer. You're up on my house and you're so cold up in the wind and you might fall and hurt yourself. You poor thing. And you got to carry that big heavy ladder. Here, this big oaf down here doesn't even help you. You poor roofer, I'm crying for you." I didn't do that. The man's doing his job. As dangerous as it is, he's doing his job. It's what he wants to do. It's his calling in life. He's doing it. I can cry for him. Go do it. When Christ is lifted up on a cross, how dangerous, how risky. We don't cry for him. He's doing what he's called to do, what he wants to do. He suffers hell for us. Not so we have a new roof, that we have a new heart full of faith and love. We have a new relationship with God, sins forgiven, and we have a new home. Not a new roof, but a new home in heaven. Don't cry over Jesus' suffering. Don't feel sorry for him. But we do cry over our sins that cost it. And that's Lent, and that's a big part of the Christian life, is feeling horrible in here, feeling miserable in here, often feeling rotten right in here because I've offended my Jesus. This is a man who died for me. God himself who gave his life. And he loves me so much. And I do love him too, but I am so, so sorry that I let him down, that I disappoint him, that I rebel against him and go my own way. I'm so sorry that I do that. I feel horrible about it. And I confess to him. That's what we pray God engender in the heart. A broken and contrite heart. We are sorry, not because we've been caught. This isn't Bill Clinton repentance. "I've been caught. I'll say I'm sorry." We are sorry, not because we're ashamed of what everybody may think if they found out we did this. That's selfish repentance. Because I'm thinking of myself and my own reputation. We are sorry not because we're trying to escape punishment in some way. Oh, really? I really act like I'm sorry, so maybe they're taking it easy on me. We are sorry because we've offended God. My Father who loves me, Jesus who loves me, the Spirit who loves me, I've offended them and I've betrayed them and I'm so sorry about it. You know, when I was a kid growing up, not only was I a bit of a crybaby, but I got in trouble like every kid. And when I was in trouble and I was crying for repentance, you know what I wanted often? A pillow. Not for my bottom, although I needed one there too sometimes with Dad. But I wanted a pillow to cover up my face. Because as I was crying and crying, I'm so sorry, Dad, I'm so sorry, Mom, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. As I was crying, often there were no tears. Because I was faking it. Trying to manipulate Mom and Dad, crying so loud looking for mercy, but I couldn't conjure up real tears. And I didn't want Mom and Dad to see I didn't have any tears. Or they would really let me have it. Oh, you're trying to fake it now. So give me a pillow so they don't see I'm really not crying. And sometimes I was even kind of halfway giggling as they let me go. Is that what Lent's about for you? Kind of a fake repentance? Let's all get a pillow out and try to fake out God and cry and cry and go through the motions to try to somehow coax some forgiveness out of Him? May God rid us of such hypocrisy and truly give us a broken and contrite heart. Don't cry over Jesus' suffering. May we cry in here, and if tears come, so be it, over my sins that offended my God. Secondly, we learn, don't cry in fear of the world. Do cry in love for the world. The Christian doesn't cry in fear of the world, but we do cry a lot in love for the world that is lost. Clear lesson of the gospel and clear lesson from Jeremiah. Talk about Jeremiah for a moment. Jeremiah has enemies in the house of God. The priests and the leaders want to get up and kill him. Let's kill him. And what does Jeremiah do when he's threatened? Does he cry, please don't kill me? I'm sorry I said the word of God. Please don't harm me. He doesn't cry. He is tough. He's a man of God. He's courageous. He's determined. Do with me what you want. But if you kill me, you will have killed innocent blood, and that'll be on your head. He stands up for God. He doesn't back down and cry. We don't cry in fear of the world and fear of persecution. We stand up boldly for what we believe. We're gentle and humble and loving, but we stand firm on what we believe, and we don't back down from it because we're standing up for God. And how dare we let down God? And Christ is a good example too. Christ is told, Herod's out to kill you. This is the Herod that just cut off John the Baptist's head. He means business. His father is the one who tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby, and they had to run down to Egypt, and he killed all the babies in Bethlehem. That was his dad. Evil, evil people. Herod means business. He's trying to kill you. And what's Jesus' response? Oh my, please, here's my apology note to Herod. I apologize for spreading the word of God. Please, Herod, don't harm me. Please. He doesn't cry out in fear. What's Jesus say? Go tell that fox. I will drive out demons today. Tomorrow I will cure people. And the third day I will finish my course. And that third day is what day, friend? It's called Easter, the third day. Go tell that fox I'm not scared of him. He can cut off the head of the Baptist. He's not going to harm me. Nothing will stop me from dying and rising for the salvation of the world. I'm not scared. I'm determined. I set my face like flint to go to the cross. Christ is courageous and strong. And that's how a Christian must react to persecution in the world. You're ostracized. You're picked on for being a Christian. People challenge you, put you down for your views. Don't back down. And don't you dare apologize for the word of God that you believe. Be gentle. Be respectful. Be loving as Christ is, but be firm. Be tough. When the going gets tough, the tough sleep. The tough cry. The tough get going. And many of us got to get a thicker skin. We get persecuted a little bit, put down a little bit for being a Christian, I mean, and we get all scared and, oh my, I offended somebody. You're a child of God. Live like it. Don't be ashamed of it in this world. And be a light. We don't cry in fear of the world, but to finish up, we do cry in love for the world. And oh, look at Jesus. This text shows us this dual heart of Jesus dramatically in just one little text. He is tough to Herod. Go tell that fox I'm going to finish my course. I'm tough. But then he's so tender with Jerusalem. He's tender at heart. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you like a hen would gather its brood, but you're not willing. The tough heart of Christ. He's not afraid of enemies, but the tender heart of Christ for the lost and the unbelieving. How I long to have you, how I long to save you, how I long that you be mine forever. Come, come to me. Trying to gather him under the wings of his cross. Come, come, please. I forgive you. I love you. The tender, loving, compassionate heart of Jesus. Tough and yet tender. And may God work that kind of heart in us. We're tough when we're persecuted, but we're tender. We love everybody. When everybody's saved, that's Jesus. And of course, Jesus not only cries over Jerusalem, he then dies for Jerusalem. Doesn't just shed a few tears. Well, feel bad, you're going to hell, but oh well. He then goes to a cross and he dies for Jerusalem that hates him and yells out, crucify him, crucify him. And he dies for Herod, who tries to kill him. He dies for Judas, who betrayed him. He died for Pontius Pilate, who was so weak-willed, he let him die. He died for Peter, who denied him. The disciples, who all forsake him. He died for the whole world, you and I, and all of our sins and all of our muck. He died for us, for our salvation. And so we are forgiven. We are reconciled. We praise him evermore. Thousand thanks shall be, dearest Jesus, unto thee for what you've done for me. And my prayer is that God so work this kind of love in our hearts, this compassion, that we would shed tears for the world out there. Tears of love. You have a family member who has rejected the Lord. May we have real tears and cry, I want this person saved. I will pray for them and invite them and encourage them. I want them saved. Please, God. Oh, Knoxville, Knoxville, you live straight. God wants you. Oh, America, America, God wants you. Oh, Asia, Asia, God wants you. Oh, Middle East, God wants you. Oh, Africa, Africa, God wants you. We cry out for the whole world. 3 out of 4 people reject Jesus. 3 out of 4 people are little birds out there with no hen hovering over them to protect them. 3 out of 4, do we care? Or let them all go to hell? May God work such love in our hearts, the love of Christ, that we shed some serious tears in prayer, and that we witness and speak the good news to the four corners of the earth and pray for missionaries and pastors and teachers. We're tough and yet we're so tender. I went to the library this past week to get tax forms. I know a lot of you do it online. I'm still old school and fill out the forms on paper. And I needed a direction booklet for 1040, the form 1040. And so I went up to the library up by Central High School, and they had forms in there. And there was a nice elderly man there who was working with a library volunteer, and he, sir, do you need help? I'm looking for the directions to 1040 form. Well, here's the 10EZ form. I don't want that. Directions to the 1040 form. Well, here's directions to the 10EZ form. I don't need that, sir. I need directions to 1040. Well, here's the 1040A form. I don't need that. Directions to 1040. Or here's the directions to the 1040A form. I don't need that. I need directions to the 1040. He finally asked me, sir, what do you need? Ah! I told you 9 times, directions to the 1040 form. He wanted to be helpful. And he was a nice man. I thanked him. But he didn't listen. He didn't know my real need. Friends, be helpful in the world, love people, but realize their real need. And their real need is Jesus. Their real need is for directions. Directions to heaven. And directions to peace. And directions to hope. And directions to joy. Directions to God. That's what they need. Listen. Meet the need.
Tell the world Jesus is the way. He's the way. The directions are easy. It's Jesus. He died. He rose. Forgiveness in Jesus. Life in Jesus. Know Jesus. Come to church with me. I'll tell you about Jesus. Come learn of Jesus. He's the direction. He's the way. Do we care enough to tell our neighbor, our friend, our coworker? Do they have the directions? For us, most of us here are stoic Lutherans. For us stoic, tough Lutherans, may we learn to cry. Jeremiah cried. Paul cried, even with tears over the enemies. Jesus cries. Don't cry over Jesus' suffering. Do cry over your sins. Don't cry in fear of the world. Do cry in love for the world. Cry. Keep crying. Amen.